Joe Smith time at WGCL live on the telephone on a Monday morning. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Glass. Margaret.
Good morning.
A new week.
It is.
And a new travel destination, Joe.
Yeah, that's you were more,
very exciting.
You weren't liking used to hanging out at home here, I hope.
Well, I've got a few things to do in a relatively short period of time after being gone 5 days, and we'll be leaving Wednesday, by the way.
There you have
curious
it.
About
they'll
that,
take another so. Plane on Friday morning from Bloomington, so there'll be a couple planes going
the
out.
The support staff, that's exactly right. But, yep. Joe, we're happy you're traveling, because if you're traveling, that means the Hoosiers are still hooping, and a great weekend in Des Moines. Came back late on Saturday night, early Sunday morning, kicked off spring with an impromptu rally there at Cook Hall,
yeah,
as our new heroes got off the bus. One step in the right direction. It is the Sweet 16 against North Carolina, 9:57, game two of the Philadelphia Regional on Friday night. But we always look backwards to look forwards. How did we get to the city of brotherly love, where this Hoosier program has plenty of history?
Well, I tell you, while there is mayhem and madness going on in this year's now field of 16 in the NCAA tournament, well, we've had a little of both. Watching Coach Tom's Hoosiers continue along on its NCAA path as we sift through what was Saturday in Des Moines, Iowa, the Sweet 16-bound Hoosiers did cause Kentucky plenty of defensive and offensive mayhem during what I felt was one of the big momentum shifts of the game. If you'll recall, Kentucky led 48-45 just inside the 10-minute mark. That's when Thomas Bryant began to incur his wrath in what turned out to be a fabulous stretch, getting an OG pass inside for a layup and then a Troy Williams conventional three-point play that knotted things at 50. From there, the Hoosiers went on a 12-2 run to grab a 10-point lead, which they never relinquished, and that was with Yogi on the bench catching a little two-minute breather. Thomas got a great feed from Troy for a layup, plus one, and then Troy again found OG free for a three-pointer. Yogi caught his breath, and he came back in, hit a jumper, and then two more Bryant free throws, a block by OG on Tyler Ulis's jumper, and then Nick Zeitzloff's great pass for a Bryant dunk made it 62-52 with 4:10 to play. So in that 4.5 to 5 minute span, the Hoosiers were getting things done at both ends of the court, and Bryant scoring 9 of his 12 points during the stretch there, and then the two free throws with 10.4 seconds left by Thomas to close things out and send them on to meet North Carolina Friday night in Philadelphia, ending a Hoosier three-game NCAA tourney losing streak to the Cats, making now its third trip in 5 years to the Sweet 16. And some good karma for Indiana, the city of brotherly love, having, as you know, won the 76 and 81 national titles. This is the East Regional, of course, and this weekend will be playing for a trip to the Final Four. And the last time the Hoosiers played Carolina, it was the Big Ten ACC Challenge 4 years ago. Back then, it was the seventh career game for Yogi, and of course, he hasn't been out of the lineup since. And now seniors for Carolina, Bryce Johnson, Joel James, and Marcus Page. But stakes will be a little bit higher Friday night. Game two following the first regional semifinal between Notre Dame, who won on a last-second tip-in, and Wisconsin, who won on a last-second shot by Bronson Koenig, as you followed those two teams' exploits on Sunday. A little bit later, we'll glance at the Indiana women playing a regional top seed and one of the top teams in the country, third-ranked Notre Dame tonight. That tip at 6:30 up in South Bend, we'll take a peek at that a little bit later. Plus, that historic seventh-place finish by Ray Luce's women at the NCAA Championships down in Atlanta, and that fabulous weekend turned in by freshman Lily King. And don't forget, in the zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls coming up. It's springtime tonight at 6.
All right, Joe, great job as always, and a busy day in college basketball, busy weekend in college basketball. As you mentioned, 64 is now down to 16. 5 of the 8 games yesterday were well worth the price of admission. Sadly for the Iowa Hawkeyes, their season ended just how it's been ending. That's not a huge surprise to anyone there, as Iowa fell apart yesterday, Villanova running over them. That was game number one out of the traps. Notre Dame took a buzzer beater to win. Same with Wisconsin. Oklahoma needed, again, a last-minute free throw exhibition to knock out VCU. Texas A&M and Northern Iowa, I can't talk about that game. I feel sick. I couldn't watch it. I've seen 50. I saw it live. I saw 50 highlights. I saw the press conference.
I got to give credit to those three young men, all seniors for the UNI bunch, and their coach, Jacobson. That was tough, but, you know, it's all about learning life's lessons. And, boy, those kids, that was the toughest thing to go through, having to be up on that podium after what wasn't for you and I.
14-2 run in the last 40 seconds.
Glass, I've never seen that either.
Nope, I haven't seen that.
You were talking about, you know, Little League basketball.
Yep.
I've never seen that in my life.
We came back from 8 down with 30 seconds left once and no three-point line, and that was in third grade. But this was Texas A&M had to make every shot. Northern Iowa had to make every bad decision.
Yeah, you got
and it.
And you know,
and
they
all
had
happened.
The class. Those three kids had the class to even talk and, you know, throw out kudos to Texas A&M for not making any mistakes themselves and or filing. And as Coach Jacobson was mentioning, all they needed in the late stages of regulation was to just make a mistake. And Texas A&M never made a mistake, and all they did was make baskets. And we went into double overtime, and the Aggies won it.
Yep, Texas A&M, too big and too strong. Northern Iowa ran out of depth. That's what happens in these quick turnaround games, Joe. The deeper, better teams usually win. Maryland beats Hawaii handily. The Terrapins trailed 41-39. The final score is 73-60. So Maryland got out, ran out. Maryland shot 1 of 18 from the free throw line, Joe, and blew out Hawaii. Figure that out for me and get back to me.
And I can't figure anything out.
And
I can figure out the Hoosiers because they are dialed in, boy.
Dialed in. The darlings of the weekend, Middle Tennessee State, thudded back to reality as Syracuse mopped the floor with them 75-50. The team that beat Michigan State on Friday never was in this game in the second half. Syracuse's zone too good, and the kid that killed Michigan State, it was 1-for-10 with 2 rebounds against Syracuse. It's a different world out there. John Calipari had a good point after the Indiana game too. When asked about his team, he said, "Hey, look, they're not computers. They're not robots. They're kids. They're going to miss shots. They're going to make some bad decisions." And that sums up the Northern Iowa game. Sweet 16, Joe. Coverage starts 7 o'clock on Thursday as we get ready for everybody getting ready for the weekend. We'll kick it off with Miami and Villanova from the South region, followed by Texas A&M, Oklahoma. The chalk in the West. It's all chalk out there. 1-4-3-2. Maryland, Kansas, followed by Duke and Oregon. That's our lineup on Thursday, and obviously the Hoosiers highlighting the late game coverage on Friday as they will follow Wisconsin and Notre Dame. If you're just joining us there, Iowa State and Virginia get things started on Friday. That's in the Midwest region, followed by Wisconsin, Notre Dame. It's Gonzaga, Syracuse, Joe, so we'll have a double digit in the regional finals. That's for sure.
Yeah.
The Midwest region will feature one of them as Gonzaga and Syracuse both playing some really good basketball right now. And then the final game out of the traps on Friday night is the Indiana Hoosiers in North Carolina. So you've got all week to get your stuff done, well, at least 3 days, and time to get in a nap or two for that late start. You know, that's not going to start at 9:57 in 100 years. You can write that down.
Well, we've
not
been there,
close.
Done that before.
No.
We've played a couple of those down through the decades.
So we've got all week to preview. The Tar Heels are an awfully, awfully good Joe Smith Monday mornings. 7:45, 8:45 right here on WGCL. Joe Smith time here at 8:47, not 7:47. That's a large airplane. There's Margaret Fetty. I'm Mike Glasgow.
Good
Thank
morning.
You for being with us. Schmitty, it was some weekend for IU Athletics, and I don't want this Lily King story to get lost in the shuffle because I think it's amazing. And the women had a great weekend, and the baseballers had a good weekend, and Barry King had a good weekend. But I think the swimming story has got to go to the top of the list, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does because it was just historic. The 13th-ranked Hoosiers of Ray Lewis, and we're talking about the women now, concluded the most successful NCAA championships in program history on Saturday night down in Atlanta when they finished 7th. Her name is Lily King out of Evansville. She won her second national title in as many nights, finishing 1-2 on Saturday night with fellow freshman Miranda Tucker in the 200 breast to cap just a spectacular showing for for Ray's crew at the NCAA Championships. And for her efforts, Lily was named the Swimmer of the Year, becoming the first Hoosier to ever win that prestigious award. Indiana wound up seventh, and it was their best finish, but the team also garnered 27 All-America honors, the most for the program in 12 years. But after setting the swimming world on fire Friday night with the fastest 100 breaststroke swim in history, Lily did it again on Saturday. She won the 200 with a performance an all-time top time of 2:03.5. The freshman broke every record in the event with her historic swim, the American, the NCAA, the NCAA meet, the U.S. Open, the Indiana School, Big Ten, and even the Georgia Tech pool records, and now owns all of those aforementioned records in both the 100 and 200 breasts. In total, she recorded an impressive 4 All-America honors at her very first NCAA championships. And with her second title in as many nights, Lily becomes the first woman and only the 4th in the Big Ten to win multiple national championships in 1 year. King, the first Hoosier man or woman to win multiple NCAA crowns in 1 year since Jim Montgomery did it in 1976. Congrats to Lily King, the entire IU women's program, and head coach Ray Luce. Just an outstanding, historic performance at the NCAAs. Well, it's going to be another stepping stone, but a great opportunity against one of the college women's basketball best, no question about it. Notre Dame tonight, 6:30, on the Irish home court, second round of the East Regional play for Terry Morin's basketball Hoosiers. Like the men of Coach Tom, Terry's women dug deep with grit and determination over the weekend on Saturday to hold off Georgia, its first NCAA tourney win in 33 years. Certainly a building block in Coach Terry's program foundation here with this 21-win team. Tonight on ESPN2, a huge challenge facing a team in Notre Dame who's been to the 5 straight Final Fours, a team that's 32-1 going into this one tonight, solid balance top to bottom, their third rank in the country. But it's an opportunity, a 9 playing a number 1 on his home court. And being realist, it'll take a terrific, tremendous performance tonight by Indiana to spring the upset. But it is March, it's the NCAA, and there will there be more madness and mayhem? I don't know, like we've seen the last two rounds in the men's tournament over the weekends. It's 4 quarters. It's a 40-minute game and a huge challenge, as I mentioned. Coach Terry stays with her same 5, Jen Anderson, of course, Amanda Cahill up front, Alexis Gassian, Carly McBride, whose older sis Kayla was an outstanding Irish standout and now is playing in the WNBA, and, of course, Tyra Buss, who all of a sudden is just 28 points short of reaching the 1,000-point career plateau after only her freshman and now her sophomore year. First meeting with the Irish in 10 years, the last time they played. Indiana won by 3 in South Bend. One thing's for certain tonight, they'll be fighting right to the end, and who knows, maybe a 3 by number 3 wins it tonight. That's why we play the game. Best of luck to the IU women later tonight. Other things going on the Hoosier beat, All-Americans of note, congrats out to Nate Jackson, who became an All-American with that fifth-place finish at the NCAA Championships over the weekend at 174 pounds. Nate completes his redshirt junior year, the young man out of Crete, Illinois, who we talked to many times this season, 35-8. Looking forward to his senior season. The Hoosiers of Dwayne Goldman finished 28th overall. The baseball Hoosiers had a great outing by Caleb Berriger. He took a perfect game into the seventh inning, I believe, yesterday out at Bart Kaufman Field. The Hoosiers ended up taking the series against Toledo. They won 8-0 and 5-1. He took a perfect game into the seventh inning. It was broken up on a base hit to a left field, but Caleb faced the 27 batters through his 8 innings. Outstanding pitching effort as Indiana now 9-9 on the year. Elsewhere, Michelle Gardner's crew, they came from way out of it to beat Western Illinois 11-8, and then split with Wright State 4-1. Actually lost to Wright State 4-1 yesterday for a split in the Hoosier Classic, but they're 16-10, having a solid spring. Lynn Loring's crew, they're off to a 2-0 start in Big Ten circles. They were out east over the weekend and destroyed Rutgers 6-1. Barry King's water polo took care of the Fluid Five, rolling over Cal State, East Bay, and Mercyhurst out at the CBAC over the weekend as well. So just some outstanding efforts, highlighted, of course, again by Lily King, the outstanding freshman from Evansville. Don't forget, in the zone, David Glass and your phone calls coming up tonight at 6.
NCAA tournament action returns to the airwaves on Thursday night, Joe, 7 o'clock. We'll take Westwood One's feed, just like we have for the first 4 days of the tournament. The Sweet 16 and the Hoosiers return to Philadelphia to take on North Carolina. That's game two after Notre Dame and Wisconsin. Game one, 7:27. Hoosiers will start about 30 minutes after the conclusion of that first game, so I wouldn't think any earlier than 10 o'clock on Friday, but Thursday we'll have doubleheader action for you as well, as the two games in the 7 o'clock hour, than the two games in the 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock hour to follow that. So a very, very busy week. Hopefully you can get your clothes changed and ready to go for Philadelphia.
Well, that's the plan, and we'll start here as soon as I hang up. A few errands to run after being on the road 5 days, but a pleasurable 5 days away from home with the basketball Hoosiers. So looking forward to the trip. Indiana will leave Wednesday afternoon late to the city of brotherly love. Been pretty good to the Hoosiers, as you mentioned, Glass, down through the years.
Amen, brother. All right, we'll get updated all week.
All righty.
Enjoy that laundry and enjoy that travel.
Yeah, thanks, bud.